You are listening to the Loikamania Pop Culture Podcast. Is brought to you by CheapGraphicNovels.com, where you can purchase your favorite trade paperbacks and hardcovers for up to 45% off cover price.
How's it going, everyone? You're listening to Loikamania, and of course, I'm Pat Loika, and this time I'm joined once again by a man who needs no introductions. It's Mr. Brian Michael Bendis. Welcome back, Brian.
Hey, man. How are you?
Good, man. It's been a while since we had you on. Lots of stuff has happened in your world, and I think it's about time we played catch up.
Sure.
Yeah. So, well, last time you were on, I mean, we'll kind of get started here with something that's that everyone's kind of been wondering about, and there have been some rumors, and there's been a lot of I guess there's a lot of people with saying all kinds of stuff about the situation, but let's kind of settle up on what's going on with the Power Show,
because
it's still a possibility. You're not out of it yet, but they decided to. I guess they passed on it for the first run around.
No, it's different. FX is different than other than other networks. Other networks look at a pilot and say okay, and test the pilot and say yes or no, and that's it. It's over. Mm-hmm. FX notoriously. And very, very savvily, they don't make a lot of pilots. And if they make a pilot, they're 80% there as far as whether or not they're putting it on the air or not. Mm-hmm. And so when the pilot comes in, it's not so much a pass or fail situation. It's like a first draft where they look at it and they go, okay, we could do now, where, blah, blah, blah. And particularly these are... the shows they make are not your average shows. They're not, here's a medical drama about a lady in a small town. They're complicated themes and complicated characters. And, to put these things on the air takes a little bit more effort and care than a normal TV show. And with Powers, particularly, we're talking about something that has not been done on television. And literally, they haven't been done in comics for the first 50 years. So so it's not a pass on any level. It's not on the air right now. It's not greenlit to go on the air. But what they have done, the good news is they've ordered more scripts for more episodes to get a better sense of what the series will be. And the rewrite of the pilot that just came in was perceived very well by those who matter, and based on that rewrite, they ordered more scripts. So we're going forward, and more work is being done, and there will be work done on a pilot to the point where they may reshoot the entire thing. Who knows?
Really?
I don't know. Everything's been discussed, mm-hmm. but there's a lot going on, and I had a very lovely long talk with the president of FX last week about it. Very long talk with our showrunner last night, Chick Egli, about what we're doing next. And it's frustrating because I'm the one that sounds so hopeful, and I'm the one going, no, we're good. But meanwhile, it's going to take a long time for the show to see the light of day. But I'm enjoying myself immensely. So to me, it is a very good experience. Mm-hmm. It's all smart people who I'm enjoying their company, and they're working really hard, and I'm not embarrassed by the pilot but on any way to perform. And so more doing more on it is not embarrassing or a negative to me. It's a good thing. So, I will keep you posted as we go. But it's right now. More scripts have been ordered, and we're making more Powers.
Awesome! I didn't hear about the them commissioning new scripts. That's really a good thing.
It's not been announced. What happened was one reporter was at the they do these television events, and the president of FX got up and very, very thoughtfully described the process on his end, and it is the most difficult thing he's ever done. It is a very difficult adaptation. We knew that going in. That's why it took so long to gestate in pre-development. And he was said, this is a very hard thing. We're very, very proud of it. We're very, very, you know, but all that was picked up was half of what he said. And then 40 blogs ran that quote as the quote. And it was an incomplete quote. So, we're not on the air. We're not going to be on the air for the next few months. But they're stepping forward ever so slowly.
Awesome. Well, that's good to hear that it's still, you know, it's still chugging along. And
listen, if it was done, if we were up, I would, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's done, and I would write a fortune and glory about it in 2 seconds. but we're not yet. And if we end up that it does all go away, I will talk about it frankly with you, as I have in the past. But right now, we're still in the game.
Good. Looking forward to it, man. Looking forward to, you know, more news from it, and hopefully for it to premiere.
Pat, let me tell you, either way, next time I'm at a show and you're at a show, I'll show you some of it.
All right. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Since we're on the subject of Powers, Powers returns to the stores once – actually, the week that we record this is when issue 8 of the current series drops. What can you hint at as far as Powers is concerned, without spoiling anything, of course?
Well, number one, for people who are listening who are annoyed by how long it took us to get another issue out, I apologize profusely. I go into it at great length in the Powers letter column about exactly why you haven't seen an issue of Powers, what we've been doing, what's been going on. A big exclusive look behind the scenes at the Powers TV show, including images from the show that no one's seen before. And you know, it's kind of a diary of what our year was like on Powers. But no, we're back in it. Issue 8 shipping next week. This week. Powers 9 will be shipping a couple weeks after that, I'm happy to say, and we're going to keep chugging along. I'm very embarrassed that we didn't get any Powers issues out for the last few months. Obviously, the book means the world to me, and the people supporting it, I can't believe how supportive they are. So I'm going to make it up. I'm going to make it up to everybody, and we're going to put a lot out this year.
That's very cool, man. There isn't a month that goes by over at your boards where someone doesn't post a thread asking where the next issue is. So you're excited for that thing.
But listen, I'll get into a little bit of what I talk about in the left. The thing was is that I wasn't aware of it while it was going on, but I was so immersed in the TV show, which sometimes would take up my entire waking day, that I've been working on Powers all day, but I've been working on the Powers TV universe, and I disconnected from the comic book universe, not consciously, but subconsciously. And then when people will go to me, don't you care about Powers anymore? What are you talking about? I was working on Powers all day. Like, it's just, you didn't see it. Powers was my whole summer. So I didn't mean to disconnect. And I've never done that before, but I did, but I'm making up for it now.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I'm looking forward.
Here's what you're going to get. We're in the middle of a very cool storyline. This is your first question.
Yeah.
Very cool storyline about a guy, the serial killer, that is plaguing these group of immortal characters in the Powers universe. You know, kind of like your Hercules, Thor types. And it's delving right into Mike Oeming's love of all things mythology, having a blast. Meanwhile, Dina Pilgrim is back as an FBI Powers agent, so she's back on the book as sort of Walker's superior, and then kind of figuring out what's going on with each other there. Plus, young Callista is now fully retro girl, but has made some huge mistakes that may or may not cost her life.
Ooh, okay. Oh, another retro girl getting killed.
Retro girl again?
I hope not. Callista is such a great character.
No, she's in the middle of a pretty big arc, a dangerous arc.
Awesome. Well, that's you know, that's some intriguing stuff. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing Owen doing some more of the more of the immortal type characters, you know, more of the god stuff. I think those are going to look cool under his since we know he's into that stuff.
The arc was created specifically because you look at everything he does that isn't powers, and you go, he clearly wants to draw this stuff, and so I wrote into that.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to that. Since we're on the subject of you and Mike, actually, you have a new Takeo graphic novel coming out in a couple of months, I believe.
Yeah.
And, of course, this picks up from where we previously left off. Will you be introducing more new characters into the mix, or are we focusing more on the relationship between the two characters?
Well, Takeo is about two sisters that become the first superheroes in the world. Mm-hmm. And they're at the ages where they don't get along, mm-hmm. except for the fact that they're now tied to this big secret that they have. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to meet them in the new graphic novel on their first missions as actual superheroes, and all that entails, plus the bad guys that accidentally turn them into superheroes, create some villains for them to fight, and what it's like for a 7-year-old to be a superhero. You know, the 7-year-olds don't always make the best choices.
Well, yeah, I mean, even grown adults, you know, don't make the best choices either. So it should be more interesting to see it from that perspective. Now, it's going to be in the same format as the first volume, of course, right?
Actually, what we're going to do is we're putting out miniseries format first.
Okay.
You got a lot of two things. Number one, people want it now, and the way we can deliver it in a now fashion is in comic book format, in 25 page increments instead of the 100 pages over the course of the year. So we're going to do it in 25 page installments. Also, people asked specifically for the kids that were reading the graphic novel, they wanted them to have comics to read, so we're going to make comics for the people who want comics, and then a graphic novel for the people who want a graphic novel. So you're going to get both.
Excellent.
Yeah, but I kind of charmed to the idea of... a lot of people hit us up about making it a regular series, and I got very charmed about making, like, the all-ages version of the Powers letter column and stuff, and Olivia's writing a lot of back matter in the back about stuff she's into. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So it's going to be like... Powers is like this whole... Powers lifestyle product with all this stuff in the letter column and all this information. Takeo is going to be the same, but for all ages.
Yeah, but she's kind of following in your footsteps, doing the letter column and all that bonus material.
Yeah, she. It's funny. She's writing a movie right now. She's on her band. She's going to school. She's writing Takeo pages. to go with mine, and every writer who tells me they don't know where to start, I was like, yeah, look at my 9-year-old getting embarrassed. I go, what are you doing? Like, I came home and she's typing away. I go, what are you doing? She goes, I'm working on a movie.
That's awesome.
Because Hugo was a big eye-opener for her, man. It was pretty amazing. Like she wanted to make movies after she saw that.
Yeah, I still have not seen that movie. I really need to hurry up.
Oh, no, you got to see it. Yeah, absolutely. But it was cool to see my kid have such a Scorsese experience. Like I've had so many of them, and to have one with my child was pretty cool. And I'm trying not to, shove things in her face and push her. I'm trying to let her just, feel it herself, but it's pretty exciting.
It must be really fun. And then, of course, you guys have something to bond over now. I mean, maybe she grows up, you guys can get into the other stuff, other Scorsese stuff. So,
well, she looks at my wall of DVDs quite often, mm-hmm. and she looks at them, and as she gets older, she looks at them all, and sometimes she sees things she recognizes, or she'll see, School of Rock in my Richard Linklater section, and then she'll go, well, what are these? And I go, honey, these are the greatest movies ever made. They're all here for you. So, and she gets every time she gets a little older, she asks for something a little different, and, so we'll see.
That's very cool, man. Looking forward to that.
It's funny, you'll like this, actually. Mm-hmm. So her and her friends decided they want to make a movie. Mm-hmm. So after school, they're always hunkered down, and they're planning this movie. So she's sitting there writing it, she goes to me, she goes, how will I know when my movie's done? And I go, well, how long of a movie is it going to be? And she said, like an hour and a half, like a regular movie. And I'm like, well, how many pages do you have? She goes, well, I got three. And I'm like, well, they say like a minute of screen time is one page of script. And then she's like, what? And I go, yeah, I know that feeling, honey.
That's awesome, man. I'm looking.
She was almost done. It was pretty cute.
Then I'm looking forward to what you guys do next with Takeo. I mean, when you guys release the single issues, are you going to be are you guys going to be playing around with the size of the books too, or are you going to be just releasing a normal size?
Normal size comic books in the graphic novel,
of course.
Yeah, the graphic novel size that I'm quite fond of that will match the other graphic novel.
Yeah, so, I'm loving those.
I'm here. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine. Okay, there you go. Yeah, for a moment there, I was hearing my voice through your speakers, but that's okay. I was going to say, I love the size of your entire graphic novel collection from Icon. You know, between Fortune and Glory and the re-release of Jinx and of course Takeo. They look really good on the shelf.
Figure a way to perfectly bound a postage stamp size artwork. Mm-hmm. I think my art looks really good, as small as I can get it to go. It is like, So, but thank you. I like them too. It's funny. I go to the store and I saw that giant Madman hardcover and the giant Spider-Man hardcover, and I'm like, everyone else is getting giant, I'm getting tiny.
Well, it works to a certain degree. I mean, I don't know. Your stuff is the type of stuff that you want to carry around and bring with you when you're reading. So I think it works perfectly fine.
Well, that's what I was thinking. You know, some of these omnibuses and stuff, they're cool to have, but they're not fun to read.
Yeah, I love the omnibus and all that stuff, but you can't bring them with you. That's something that you set on the table and read that way.
Mm-hmm.
These books you can carry around anywhere, and I'm actually I'm getting ready to reread Jinx. Actually, I've been taking it to work with me, and it's much easier to bring it that way than say carry an omnibus around and just plunk it down on your desktop. It's kind of a pain. You're obviously collecting the rest of your previous works.
Torso should be shipping soon.
All right.
And Goldfish will be out in April. Mm-hmm. We're pretty. They've been doing very well too, sales wise. Like they found a new audience or enough time to go on by for a good double dipping. And for the double dippers, I thank you tremendously. But it's great. It's finally in a format. Honestly, it's my dream format. Particularly the Jinx, that release of Jinx made me so happy because it was so frustrating trying to release it through Caliber and stuff. It's just the formats were never they never did the work, the justice that I wanted it to be. So. Very, very happy with how these look. And thanks to our friend Jen Grunwald, who puts them together. She does all the heavy lifting and hard work so they get out on time and get out well.
Yeah, I love the design too on the book. From the spines and just the publication design on all of them have been really good.
Our friend Tim Daniels also does my website.
Yes,
outstanding designer. I love him. The biggest find in my life. Just comes in and makes everything look cooler.
Yeah, he's a really good guy, Tim. I've seen him in many cons, and he's always really pleasant, and he's just a really sweet guy. So,
absolutely.
And I'm looking forward to Torso getting re-released, man. That's the one I've been waiting for.
Me too.
I'll be honest, man. This is I'm triple dipping on these things.
I love you, man. You know what? I sometimes feel guilty about that, and then I think of all the things I've triple dipped on. I literally have bought Rocketeer, like seven. I'm on my seven dip on Rocketeer. So listen, I tend to let the guilt go when I realize I do it all the time. So
yeah, I think for at least for us who like having the material book in our hands, we just want to get the best possible format.
Exactly. So, and honestly, every time I put out the book at the time, that's the best possible format. Mm-hmm. Like that's the best pot. So it's never like I'm trying to, like Evil Dead, they seem to put out a different format every 3 weeks for Evil Dead, and it annoys me, But there's others you can tell, like, no, this is the best they could do with the time, and here's a better version they thought of or came up with. So that's where I'm at with this. So thank you, man.
Oh, not a problem, sir. I look forward to it. And then maybe down the road you do an actual omnibus edition of this, and I'll probably pick it up anyway just because it looks good on my shelf.
You know what? We thought about an omnibus. It literally jinxes omnibus size on its own. And, you know, like an omnibus would be like, if I did Goldfish and Jinx and Torso as an omnibus, it's like 1,600 pages or something. It's too much.
It's probably going to be
like
thicker.
Just or something.
It's probably going to be thicker than the Walt Simonson Thor omnibus.
Exactly. It's too much. And speaking of Walt Simonson, my friend.
Yes.
May I tell you, getting artwork from him every day is pretty awesome. I can't wait for you guys to see him. Avengers.
I see him posting on Facebook every so often, like, you know, like rough sketches, and he would ask questions. I remember he was asking people on Facebook the other day, how the pouches are on Cap's, you know, Cap's costume these days. And I thought, like, okay, he's doing research.
it's very, very. No, this is. Let me see if he's posted. I'm looking right now as we're. Let's see, Walt Simonson, Walter. There he is, the official Walter Simonson page. There's one image he wanted to post. And let me see if he posted it. Boom, 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 boom.
There's a Thor that he posted, a structure drawing of Thor.
Yeah, okay, he only posted the structure. Yeah, I've seen the finished art on the Thor. Cool, yeah. So he asked permission to post it. I guess they said no.
Oh, that sucks.
No, because there's some spoilers in it for AVX, so they don't want to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, okay. Well, since we're kind of on the subject, you have announced that you will be leaving Avengers. I guess it's after this arc with Walt Simonson.
I'm gonna do I'm gonna do all my AVX tie-ins, and then after that, I'm gonna do a month where there will be multiple shipping of both New Avengers and Avengers, which will be the final arcs where I make my goodbye and final statement on both New Avengers and Avengers. So, and then I'll be done with all those books.
Okay.
And so, on to my new stuff.
All right. Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you I'm sad that you're leaving Avengers because honestly, that book. You coming onto that book led to a lot of things for me because of the message board and all that stuff. But I've always been an Avengers fan for the longest time, and I kind of gave up on it. And then you took over the books, and I kind of fell in love with the characters again. And it's true. You know, it's for the last it's been 7 years, I think, or maybe a little more than that since you took.
Yeah, we're gonna be solidly in year 8 when I'm done, and I will have had in year 5 I had the longest run ever, so I will have a substantially long run as far as the amount of issues. I'll be in the 250 range, which is crazy.
Goodness.
I know, and including events, which I do include, and annuals, which are issues. I know people don't think they count, but they do. And you and many others have been with me the entire journey, and it's been quite the roller coaster ride. And I'll have more to say about it when I'm done, because I'm not done yet. You know.
Yeah.
You know, when I kind of did an announcement, I was just kind of saying, yeah, this will be the year I wrap it up. I was just kind of talking off the cuff. I wasn't making a proclamation. And people were very, very nice to me about it. It's been people have been very warm towards me. Even people who tend to hold me over the coals have been pretty nice about, you know, just generally, you know, there's some people, it's funny, they think I'm there to screw up their toys or just to fuck everything up or whatever. And then they see at the end of the day, I was trying to tell good stories, and I appreciated all the nice words that people said. That was very sweet. So, and the people who I can never do right by, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I said I'm leaving and you're mad at me that I'm leaving. So like,
yeah, you can't please everybody, but I thought, you know, the fact that you had such a long tenure on the book and you really, I thought you elevated a lot of characters using that title. You know, Luke Cage. You know, now you can't think of that guy as not being an Avenger. You elevated a lot of characters. You elevated the Hood as far as supervillains go, and you did a lot of stuff with a lot of really obscure characters. So I thought you know you really added a lot to. The mythos of the Avengers. So, you know, I'm sad that you're leaving again, but you know, I'm excited to see what you do next. And
I have two very large initiatives coming after Avengers. Both of them are crazy, out of my wheelhouse, very very scary for me personally. The artists I'm working with are the absolute tops. When you hear the announcements, you're going to go, "Well, that sounds awesome." It's a couple of head scratchers in there. Well, I yeah, and it's but that's what a writer, an artist, you're supposed to be a little scared. You know, you're supposed to be scared of what's sitting in front of you, and I am officially a little scared. So there you go.
Awesome. Well, hopefully, I'm pretty sure we're gonna see something completely unique and different from you, because we got used to you doing the big superhero team books and the event books. So whatever these new titles are gonna be, it should be very interesting. With Avengers, if you don't mind giving us kind of a rundown as far as the arcs go before as we reach the end. Right now we're finishing up the Return of the Dark Avengers and Hammer.
That's fine. I've written that so long ago that the Hammer storyline that's going on in both Avengers and New Avengers will wrap up concurrently in both titles. Some legitimate shifts. In power players in the Marvel Universe at the end of that. Really happy with both Daniel Acuna and Mike Diodato on those. And I felt bad. I was so excited about Walt Simonson joining the book that I felt it gave short shift to Daniel, who's been doing really amazing work on Avengers, like really cool stuff. So, it's definitely worth checking out. And then with issues 25 of Avengers, starts Walt Simonson's run on Avengers, and issue 24 of New Avengers starts me and Mike Diodato doing very important tie-ins to the AVX storyline. In my opinion, the good stuff, to be honest with you. There's a lot of stuff we hashed out between me and Jason. We were plotting the overall story and some stuff that there was no room for in the event itself, but I thought was supremely interesting and genuinely fascinating story beats that I will get to tell in both New Avengers and Avengers.
Awesome. And where does the big Ultron story fit in?
Ultron's coming later. Ultron is a very large story that deserves its own place on the schedule. Mm-hmm. It certainly would have no place in the middle of what's happening in AVX. Okay. It would just fit at all. So.
Okay, for some reason I thought that it was going to be right before AVX, but clearly that's not the case.
No, it's we've already like solicited AVX, so it's already in the catalogs.
Okay, So with regards to AVX, there's the five of you guys writing that book. How do you guys come up with, say, an outline, and you guys divide up the scripts, or how do you guys work on that particular book considering the number of people involved?
Well, because of the nature of the characters and who was on it, Axel asked me and Jason to hunker down together and plot out. Like the story. Now, we'd all got together at my house last year and beat out what the story should be and the theme and the characters and we had voodoo donuts and went to food carts but we all got together and really hashed it out like a real writer's room, like a TV writer's room. And then me and Jason were sent to task to actually sit down and write our little tushes off and then come write the outline. And then everybody gave notes and everybody gave feedback, including Axel and Tom Brevoort and ex-editor Nick Lowe. And it became obvious more or less who should write what. Like what, you know, Axel asked me to start it up and running. Jason's right after me. Then there were just certain chapters with certain elements that either a writer said, "Oh my God, I can't wait to do that," or it was their idea. And we were like, Ed Brubaker should write that. That was his idea, or Ed Brubaker would be perfect for this. And we divvied it up pretty good.
Awesome. I'm really excited for that. I saw the preview art by Frank Cho for issue zero, and it's nice to see Wanda again.
That was a lot of fun. I wrote those Wanda pages, mm-hmm. and Frank, particularly, I think this is the best thing I've ever seen him do. And I thought, honestly, that Mighty Avengers was the best thing he'd ever done. But this, almost everyone who's seen it kind of feels it's the best thing they've ever seen from him. Not even sure, like, what we did. They got him so excited about it. But what an honor. And it starts off on such a high note. And we just got the orders, and they were, like, not to be all Mark Millari, but they were the highest, like, issue zero orders ever. So, which bodes well for the series as a whole. So we're relieved about that, honestly. So, and then Johnny comes right afterwards. Johnny just kills on the first issue. Just amazing.
Oh, yeah, I don't think Johnny's incapable of drawing a bad comic. Seriously, he is so good.
Wait, Johnny and Scott Hanna and Laura Martin, and what a wonderful powerhouse team. Just really, he just delivered, man. I want to hug the guy. He makes it look so effortless, and it's not, So.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen John's stuff colored by Laura Martin, so that should be very interesting.
I kind of demanded it, and I'm very glad I did. I kind of thought that would look awesome, and I think they have worked together before. I couldn't think of it either. Yeah. But she really, I'm always looking for those colorists that will find the planes in the face mm-hmm. of the I wouldn't say older artists, but the more traditional artists like Johnny or Bagley, the colorist needs to find the planes in their face to do the coloring justice and to really help tell the story. And she always does.
Yeah, she is so good. She is phenomenal.
So good.
Really good choice for a colorist there. Mm-hmm. So
the good news about the other thing about all the different writers in AVX is that which I'm happy about is you'll be able to tell who wrote what, and not to diss on 52 or anything, but I always thought that was a bummer. Like, why would you try to mishmash Greg Rucka and Grant Morrison? I want to know who wrote what, mm-hmm. And so you'll be able to tell, Ed wrote in his style and Matt wrote in a style that he thought was appropriate for this, and so everyone has their own thing going on. It's pretty cool.
I'm really looking forward to it. I have to apologize, though. I'm kind of rooting for the X-Men on this one.
That's okay. Everyone pick a side.
Yeah. It's been kind of fun seeing people play around and talking about it.
I'm kind of rooting for the Phoenix, so what do you think of that?
Oh, yeah, that could be a problem. moving on to another one of your books, currently, that's actually coming to an end as well. Moon Knight has been a lot of fun. Thanks. Alex, and Matt have been absolutely great on this book. A lot of people I know who haven't been reading much as far as superhero comics go, and I give them copies of Moon Knight, and they really dig it. They really like the Mark Spector, the producer guy.
Thank you.
It's a really fun take on that character, and Alex's work here is probably some of his best. Like, aside from since his. Probably his best since the Daredevil stuff, or even the Scarlet stuff, I thought.
Well, he's drawing it with a different mind. It's funny. Someone got in his a little bee in his bonnet about him being too reliant on photo reference, which he isn't. And I don't think that if you're taking the photos yourself, it is photo reference. It's all art,
Yeah.
And someone annoyed him about him not being able to draw or something, which he can. You can't even tell what's photo reference and what's not. So he said, "All right, I'm going to do this whole book without photo reference." I'm like, "All right, do whatever you want, man." And so that you're getting a kind of a looser, more painterly style of his art with less obvious computer work. That's what it is, and yeah.
It really does feel more freehand and kind of similar to, you know, it kind of harkens back to his Daredevil work, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, when a looser version of his Daredevil work, I think. And it is good. I mean, I love
how the suggestion was because Moon Knight's psyche is looser than Matt's. Matt's is much more staid, and Moon Knight looks like it could come part of the scenes at any minute. So he's drawn it that way, which I kind of like that idea a lot.
Yeah, I dig it a lot. And again, I'm gonna miss this book. It's a lot of people I know who are not into, you know, superhero stuff. They're digging it, and you know the character has been compelling. This new type of, you know, multiple personalities going on in his head has been very entertaining, to say the least. And of course, the way you use Count Nefaria has been, you know, has been great, because that character really hasn't been used too often. And I think the only person who's ever picked him up in the last few years has been you. You know, in cameo appearances and now this. So it's nice to see him having a role.
That, man. Yeah, you know, listen, me and Alex were only supposed to do the 12, uh-huh. So we're definitely going to get to tell our story from beginning to end. I did want the book to go on past us, but you know, it's effing Moon Knight, man. It's a hard character to sell to some retailers. You know, a lot of hard decisions have to be made. And, you know, the retail community has been very, very nice to me over and over and over again. So I'm not sore about it at all. Because again, I'm getting to tell my story. But you know, it's one of those things that I'd go to a store and I'd see they wouldn't even have any, and then if I'd mention it, they'd be all surprised that they were sold out of Moon Knight. Like they don't even pay attention to Moon Knight. They train themselves not to even look to see if they have any, you know. And I was like, all right, it's going to be one of those. So, listen, hopefully we'll live on in trade paperback as long as Daredevil has. So, Alex will get to finish up Scarlet. He's been sitting on some Scarlet script for a while, so I want him to finish up.
Moving on to Scarlet, then.
Yes.
Man, you kind of beat, you know, the world to it in that book with all the protests and Occupy stuff.
Man, listen, I told you last time we talked, I'm sure you heard me talk about it. I thought I was writing like a vision of the world 10 years from now, not like 10 months from now.
Yeah.
I'm honestly, it freaked me out a little bit. The Occupy Portland took place exactly where I have Scarlet have her shit go down in issue 6 and 7. Mm-hmm. So you get to see the more violent version of an Occupy in the exact place Occupy took place. And I wrote it months before Occupy Portland went down. So it was just a little weird, crazy thing, man. Yeah, it's going to take me a while to even figure out what I think about this whole thing.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering, you know, if you'll kind of respond to what happened in the book itself, like, I don't know, do some kind of commentary on it.
I've been thinking about it a lot. I mean, basically, Scarlet herself is a commentary on it, and I'm thinking like I was thinking with the letter column, like, or should I just do it in the book? Like, I kind of get annoyed when creators don't just do it in the book, like, do it in your art. Mm-hmm. Don't lecture me. Don't blog at me. Don't letter call me. Show me what you think in the story. And I can't tell if I should just do it in let the book speak as my feelings on all this, or should I babble on? I don't know. I think I'll have to wait till the book is done to do a lecture but the book itself will be a very, very strong statement about what I think about all of this as it was before all this went down. So
awesome. And now do you envision like a certain number of issues for the book to go through, or do you have like a definite
we've had a plan and block for a while. So Alex has some stuff going on in his personal life right now, good stuff, but it's kept him from finishing the latest issue. So hopefully very soon.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, man.
As soon as he's ready, man.
Yeah.
But the good news of Powers and Brilliant and Taki are all going to ship frequently and on time. So Scarlet, I just have to let Alex be Alex, you know.
Yeah, well, and you know, his work is always worth the wait, so I don't mind waiting every now and then. And of course, we still got Moon Knight. We still have like 3 issues of Moon Knight left.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's, it's all good.
Okay, while we were talking, I just got the cover to Avengers 27 from Walt Simonson.
Oh, wow.
And it's awesome. Anyway, sorry. Had to brag.
That's perfectly fine, man. And I'm excited for it. And I'm hopefully they'll put it out somewhere for other people to see.
I would like them to put it out in the artist edition IDW format. That's what I.
Man, those books are amazing. Those are probably some of the best looking books I've ever seen.
They're kind of a miracle. Like I picked up the Romita one, and I felt this about the Simonson one. Like, what are the odds he would hold on to this shit, you know, and have it ready to be produced for this? And same thing with Romita. If you read in the Romita one, it's basically one guy's collection that he's been going around for 30 years collecting these issues, and now he's got them all complete, and you get them all, like, produced at such a level where you can really, like, admire the artistry. I can't believe they exist. I just can't believe it. And the Wallywood one's coming out in a couple of weeks, and I don't know, man. I hope they, if they can't find any more consecutive issues, what they do is put out just random pages. Just, like, put out a Kirby one of just every piece of original Kirby art they can find. I don't care if they're in order. I don't care what book they're from. Just show me a bunch of cool stuff.
The Simonson one is something I just keep looking at. I can't stop looking at those Simonson pages because it's amazing what that guy was doing way back then.
I know. I bring him to a class every week, and I just let the kids stare at them and yell at them, "Don't touch!"
I think that's a nice thing to kind of talk about real quick. Teach classes on comic book writing, and you get to bring in all these cool guests to do guest lectures. How has life been for Professor Bendis to teach?
Oh, I do like Professor Bendis. I make my wife call me that in intimate moments. No, I adore it. I have a very good crop of students this semester too. I was just grading papers earlier tonight, so I was very happy overall with the. With what I was seeing, a very talented group. So no, you know what? Listen, I teach it for those who don't know what we're talking about. I teach at Portland State. I teach a graphic novel writing class. It's like half a workshop and half a philosophy class, and just kind of show them everything I found in my life. And I bring in all my local friends or friends I could pull in from out of town to come. Guest lecture, so it's not a class about how to write like me, because that would be the wrong thing to do on numerous levels, and I always hated professors that only saw the world the way they do it, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. So what I do is I bring in Matt Fraction and Rocca and Kelly Sue and Diana Schutz and Oming and a lot of my friends, just to give them different perspectives and different points of view and different ways to do stuff, because there's no right or wrong way to do stuff in comics. There's just the ways that things that work, and I wanted to create a class that let the students make their own decisions about what's the right thing for them. And I'm proud that I'm a professor that doesn't have any genre bias. A lot of my professors, when I was in college, had real pop culture biases that made it impossible for me to do what I wanted to do. So I think it's nice to have a teacher that is equally happy to read your zombie graphic novel or a graphic novel about how you lost your virginity. So overall, it's a blast, man. And it keeps me, just selfishly, it keeps me, like, rooted in basics that a lot of times some of my peers might lose sight of, you know what I mean, because they're in the grind of the daily work. So it's selfishly, it's a very good thing, and spiritually, it's a very good thing. And, quite a few of my students have already started building careers for themselves. So it's nice to watch them grow.
That's awesome. Have any of them gotten anything published yet? Or?
Yeah. Oh, there's a couple of guys. The Witch Doctor guys, Brandon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. He was in my first class, and Joshua Williamson was in, my first or second class. I forget. There's a couple of guys that they go, I just literally gave a quote to Joshua for his xenophobia thing from Image, and they're doing. And I'm not taking credit for them because I think they were already – I just think that their hunger to take the class is just an example of what kind of talent they are. They're just looking for more information, you know?
That's cool, man. I'm envious of that. Bless you.
Sorry.
I'm envious of them, man. I wish we had something like that here.
you'd be completely annoyed if you saw me every week. You'd be
I don't know. Learning from you may be a different thing, you know. So that's something.
Else. I started showing the. If you find the Will Eisner documentary that came out this year, mm-hmm. Portrait of a Sequential Artist, mm-hmm. Get it. I showed class. We do a Will Eisner Day. It's a great documentary on comics.
I will check that out.
Yeah. Higher level than you usually see. I think it might be on Netflix. I'm not sure.
I'll check it out. Right when we finish here. Actually, speaking of college kids, let's talk about Brilliant real quickly.
Sure.
Number two finally came out. You mentioned earlier we are finally going to be on the regular schedule with the book.
Yeah, no, three is done. Four is being drawn. We're back on schedule.
Awesome. And does Mark's commitments with Avengers Assemble kind of affect this? Or
No. In fact, we were talking today. We had a levity phone call today and talked about, like, we finally found exactly – It's literally like a half an issue of Brilliant for every issue of Avengers, which is well within his ability to do. If he wants to, he can do two issues a month, but he doesn't want to, and I don't really want him to. This is perfect. This is always the plan, so we got it rolling.
Okay, that's good.
We're good.
That's good to hear. That's good to
hear, Thanks to everyone for making that book financially doable. Launching creator-owned stuff in this marketplace is such a terror, you know, and Brilliant's numbers have been very strong, so thank you to everyone so we can continue to do it.
Yeah, it's been a fun book. I'm starting to warm up to the characters, although the first issue, I'll be honest with you, it was a bit of a challenge at first, but then it took me a couple of weeks to really appreciate it, and I really got to enjoy it for the dialogue more than anything. The second issue, really, I thought things picked up.
The book progressively gets more and more interesting as it goes. It's a slow burn. I appreciate you giving it a second shot.
Oh, yeah.
Some of my favorite things I needed to do that with. Like, the first time I read it, I go, what was that? And then the second time I read it, I go, I think this is my favorite thing I've ever read. So I know that's not what you said, but I've had that experience too.
Yeah, I'm actually also really pleased that you guys put that out same day digital. Because
we always mean to. I have to nudge people to make sure those go up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're gonna try to do that with everything.
Yeah, I love I actually purchased them that way, and I love the Mark's work on this book. It looks kind of different from his usual stuff. I don't know if Joe Rubinstein has inked him before, but Nick Filardi's colors on his stuff is completely different, and I like the look that it gives his work.
Nick is coloring Takeo and Powers and a bunch of Marvel stuff now, and we come at him with a different palette idea for every book, and he always delivers. Yeah, Joe Rubinstein, I have loved so dearly for so long. I was actually rereading the Micronauts specials and the Michael Golden Micronauts stuff, and there was Joe Rubinstein. I'm like, Jesus, and he's inking Brilliant. That's awesome. So yeah, and Danny Mickey is inking Bagley on Avengers too. So we got two awesome inkers on Bagley.
Very cool.
Yeah,
and I'm really excited to see where this goes. I'm looking forward to number three when it finally comes out.
Thank you. Three and four will be right behind it. I'm happy to say, yeah, we're rolling.
Very cool. And this is an ongoing series, right, or is this just a mini series?
Yeah, it's ongoing, but we're going to do breaks in between story arcs just to keep keep everything kosher.
Oh yeah,
you kind of treat it like seasons on a TV show, like a Showtime or an HBO. Where we'll do a bunch of issues, kind of regroup and get ahead of ourselves again and keep going.
Cool. And of course, before we finish up, we'll talk about your other big project that's currently going. And it's Ultimate Spider-Man or Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, whatever you want to call it. And it's
Spider-Man, but I think I'm alone in this. I don't know how that comic's got in there, but listen, just tonight I got the big box of Ultimate Spider-Man hardcovers starring Miles Morales, which I am thrilled about because I know there was quite a few people trade waiting, as they say, for this. So I'm very excited for everyone to see it, and for the Barnes & Noble fans to see it, and that's going to be cool.
Yeah, the first arc was really great. I really enjoyed the Ultimate Prowler connection.
Thank you. Yeah, that's going to keep building.
Yeah, I'm
keep going. That's a big part of the whole first year of the book. Oh, by the way, as far as the hardcover goes, the one thing I'm very happy with, I was kind of nudgy about, the pages from Ultimate Fallout that feature Miles' first appearance, drawn by Sarah Pacelli, have been inserted into the storyline where they belong in the first storyline. So when Miles goes out in his costume, we then see the adventure with the kangaroo and then cut back to the where in the book where he comes back defeated. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. But for those who get a collection and the singles, I've inserted that story where it belongs in the storyline.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing how that reads in that form.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Listen, I got three kids. I'm constantly covered in spit and mucus.
That's okay, Brian.
Year-old, my 4-year-old, and my 9-year-old, so.
That's okay. Well, yeah, I've been enjoying it. Like, I saw the preview pages for issue 7, and it looks like our buddy John Suntress makes a cameo by Chris Somney. And he really nails John in those pages.
It was I think a little flattering, to be honest with you, but but still, yeah, very, very good. And then coming right after Chris Somney on 7, Sarah will be back for issue 8. And issue 9, heading up, David Marquez is doing the book, while Sarah works with me on another very exciting project that may or may not have already been teased.
Oh, okay.
What? Yeah.
I love Sarah's work. I actually got to meet her at New York Comic Con last October, and she's awesome.
Yeah, no, she is, and she just handed in an issue of our Secret Super Secret project. And it was startlingly awesome. And I showed it to everyone I can trust, and they were all like, oh, my God. And it as good as her work has been this year, it went up another notch. Like, she's completely motivated by all this positive reinforcement she's gotten.
Oh, and
I don't know how to say this. I platonically, in a non-creepy way, completely love you. And she was completely responsive and happy and it's weird to have such a wonderful relationship with someone I've ever spoken to. So yeah.
She's awesome. She draws a great younger me. Seriously, I think everybody I know when they were reading that book, they got to those pages with Gank, and they were like, "Is that Pat?"
I can tell, even though it wasn't you, but I can totally see it, right?
Uh huh.
I will give you that. I promise you that we've had such a wonderful relationship over the years. I will never hurt Genki because I know it'll hurt you emotionally. Genki is safe from all threats. I will never Gwen Stacy Genki.
Okay, I'll hold you up to that. You know, if you want, you could do that to John Suntress, though. I don't think he'd mind.
Oh, yeah, sure, no, Suntress coming back. Suntress coming back like Kenny in South Park. I'm gonna keep going at him.
May I say, as
Chris did a wonderful job, and Sarah is blowing the roof off the place. The pleasant surprise for all is what is, and a lot of people will see his work for the first time tomorrow when the Fantastic Four graphic novel comes out. But David Marquez is really a wonderful artist who is everyone's equal and is going to surprise a lot of people with what he's already got a couple issues of Ultimate Spider-Man in the can. And I will tell you, he killed on his Genki scenes. He really nailed
all
it.
All right.
He could be happy.
Yeah. I think I might have seen some of Marquez's work before. I think he's done some Top Cow stuff, I think, or some Archaea stuff.
Yeah,
he sounds familiar to me.
A bunch of stuff. The Fantastic Four graphic novel was really wonderful, but when you see his Ultimate Spider-Man pages, huge step forward.
I remember.
I think, and also I just think it's the general, like, if you're going to be in a book with Sarah, you better bring your A game kind of thing. And you know, even if it's subconscious, it was like, wow, look at this.
Yeah, I remember now. He did an issue of Secret Warriors with John Hickman. I think it was issue 24 or something. That's why his name kind of sounds familiar to me. But yeah, his stuff is good. I can only imagine how his stuff looks like now, because he's obviously gotten better since his first since that issue that he did.
Well, I wish there was an IMDb for comic book creators.
I believe there. I think there's a thing called comicbookdb.com, but I think that's like kind of has pop-ups whenever you bring it up every so often. So, but yeah, I remember
pop-ups.
Yeah,
was it 1984?
I know, right? that site. I mean, it's pretty useful. It's all, you know, it's kind of similar to, you know, IMDb, where you can look up your stuff by name, by title, or by creators, all that. But it does have some issues every now and then, so just be careful navigating from there.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm excited for Ultimate Spider-Man. I'm looking forward to seeing the new ultimate version of Scorpion.
Mm-hmm. And oh, yeah. You guys haven't really seen him yet. Yeah. Sorry, that's another book. And am I eating during the
interview? No, it's okay.
That's another book I'm so many issues ahead of that I forget what you haven't seen yet. But yeah, a big storyline with Scorpion and the Prowler, like, you know, inflicting himself into Miles' life in a very negative way, and Miles having to make some tough choices for a 13-year-old kid. And also, one, as the story continues, we'll be involving Miles more and more in the actual Ultimate Universe. We'll be seeing the Ultimates, we'll be seeing Ultimate X-Men, and the other surprises we have planned. One gigantic surprise coming this summer. So, and also some big announcements coming just in general with the Ultimate Universe, I think coming very soon.
Very cool. I'm really looking forward to all this stuff.
And by the way, I'm so happy how Miles is doing in the comic book stores. Thank you, everyone, so much. The Miles on paper certainly looked like a jump the shark moment if ever there was one, you know. You mean you killed the character everyone liked and replaced him with someone no one gave a shit about? So I'm grateful that this has gone over well and has breathed new life into the book for so many people and have been a good jumping on point for many other people. So, and I had the first experience over Christmas. A little boy came to our house who literally is half Hispanic, half African American. I was introduced to him as a writer, Spider-Man, and he goes, Miles Morales? Like, that's the one he wanted. And I was like, oh, no one's ever said that name to me before.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it was so sweet.
I know of a lot of people who, again, are reading Spider-Man comics because of that character, because of what the character represents. So, you know, it's I think it's got to be really cool to be, you know, part of this whole thing.
Oh, no. I'm just so relieved, you know, because it just gets, you know, when the media latches onto something and then everyone comes at a book like that with their own, like, personal agenda and things that they want to see in a book like that, and you kind of have to just win them over with, no, this is the story we're telling, and yeah, and, you know, his life may not be exactly your life or your experience, but it is, and enjoy it, and overall, I just, you know, and at the end of the year, everyone was so nice, and all those top 10 lists and all that stuff, it was really wonderful. So I don't even know what to say about it. It's just such a wonderful thing. So,
well, congratulations on that. On that, you know, being a big success. And again, it's well deserved. I think the story, the characters, they've all been great. And it's a really nice, you know, take on the Spider-Man story. And it's a, you know, the character is so different and so new. It's just nice to experience that all over again and without it feeling like a retread. Because a lot of people complained, you know, before when you first relaunched, you know, when you first launched Ultimate Spider-Man, it feels like people keep saying it's just, oh, they're just retreading the 616 stories, is what everyone used to say. But now you're, you know, going through completely new ground with this character, and he's going to have a different set of circumstances that no one can compare him to. So, you know,
when we started developing Miles years ago, I just had adopted Sabrina, but it was just like a new father experience. Like, and the racial component wasn't even something I even thought about or cared about, you know. And Tabitha was many years away, and for those that don't know, I've two of my children are African American, or one's African American, and as Sabrina gets older and is very articulate and is very into pop culture, she desperately looking for not role models, but just things to look at and identify with, you know? And then you realize how little there is in mainstream American pop culture for any other race of any sort, you know? And though it wasn't part of the agenda when I started it, but now I see, it just happened. My life came into a place where I'm watching through her eyes and see how important that is. So it's not why I did it, but I'm glad we're doing it. So
awesome.
Yeah. If that makes sense. I don't
yeah, even, it makes perfect sense.
Someone here doesn't think that I went and, excuse me, mm-hmm. and did all this because for my kids or whatever, but I didn't, but, I'm glad I did. So
awesome. And, prior to closing out, you mentioned that you'll be appearing at your first con in over a year.
You going to come meet me?
I can't. That's too far away.
Nah, you know, I have retired from conventions for the foreseeable future. I got a lot of kids and the summers are really fun and special. And some of the work on the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon and powers and stuff needs me to travel a little bit. So that's kind of my traveling time. Mm-hmm. And so I don't, it feels weird to leave home on the weekends for conventions right now. My good friend Daniel, who runs Supernova in Australia, invited the whole family out. It's very, very sweet. And he did it the smart way. He got a hold of my wife. And so he didn't even go to me. He went to her. So we're going to come. We're going to come to Australia, make an appearance in Melbourne and the Gold Coast. And if you ever get a chance to go to Australia, it's pretty awesome. I love that place. It'll be my third trip out there. So,
yeah, I'm kind of over long plane rides. last year I already had my 15-hour plane ride to Manila last year.
Oh,
so I don't think I'm kind of over those long rides for the time being.
No, I get you. But I don't know. It's cool. It sounds like, you know, Emerald City's a lot of fun, but you know, it's Australia.
Oh, that's perfectly understandable. I mean, yeah, I would love to go out there one of these days, but maybe down the road
if I can relate to any of my friends in comics, the best thing you can do is announce you're not doing shows, because I'm getting the best offers to do shows.
And so, that's your only show this year?
It looks like. There's some stuff I may be contractually obligated to do for the MMO or some other stuff. That I said I would do, and I will do it, and I'll know later in the year for that when the MMO launches and stuff. But
San Diego. Yeah.
I don't think I'm doing San Diego. Like, I would do San Diego if like for powers or something, but we're not going to be ready in time. Sure.
That's
so.
A shame.
I know.
That's okay.
But you know, Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon will be there, and there's plenty of guys like Paul Dini and the
Men of Action
to be out there to. And they're all funny and cool, so I don't know. Listen, San Diego is a big, excuse me, it's a big pain in the tush. It's a lot of work getting in the building.
Oh, I know. Trust me. I mean, just setting up our booth there and all that stuff it's ridiculous. But you know, it's
yeah,
so crazy.
I mean, it's one of those things where I really have to think about. I could stay home and write like a lot of pages. And play with my kids, mm-hmm. Or I do San Diego. And listen, I just did San Diego, I guess it was the year before last, even though it was like, yeah, and they were so nice to me, and it was such a wonderful experience. And you're like, okay, did it, rocked it. I, you know.
It's really a brutal show, so I don't blame you.
I hate to bitch on it because I had such a good time when I was there. I actually went to my first panel as a fan, went to the Mystery Science Theater panel or the Riff Tracks panel. We had such a good time. So it's effing exhausting, man.
Oh yeah.
I will thank those zombie girls who came and bit me. That was fun. I had a good time. Yeah, I did have a good time. Just, you know, gotta raise children.
Well, we look forward to the day that you come back to San Diego and visit our great company.
Absolutely.
Here.
Well, pal, let me ask you, what episode is this? Is this what episode are we doing?
This is episode. Hold on a second here. This is episode. See, I've lost track. This is 79, actually.
Well, that's cool, man. So of 79, like, what have been your favorite episodes? If people want to go back and.
Man, I can't even pick. I don't know. I'm just thankful. I've been able to get really cool people to go on the show like yourself, and I've been able to have friends on. We just get to geek out and talk about comics and talk about the stuff we love. And
you should put together a best of episode.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I want to do a clip show because I don't know.
Are you beneath the clip show? How dare you?
No, I just want to make sure everyone gets something new every week, you know?
I know, but for people who are just joining you now, they want to see what you're all about.
Yeah, maybe down the road. Maybe I'll do something like that for when we get to number 100 or something.
All right, see?
Yeah, that could be fun.
All right.
Yeah. And, of course, Brian, of course, people can find you online. You're on Twitter at Twitter.
I'm on the Twitter. I'm on Facebook and the Jinx World message board, as always, and jinxworld.com.
Awesome, sir. Well, again, thank you for doing the show. Thanks again for all the work, and again, thank you for the Avenger stuff. I don't know if we'll probably talk about it again when we get to the end, because I know
we will talk. You are going to, when you hear the two announcements. You are going to ask to talk to me.
Oh, yeah. We will.
I guarantee when you hear what me and Sarah are doing, you're going to go, hey, can I have you for 10 minutes?
I'm excited for that already, man. Just be, anything you and Sarah do, I'll buy. I mean, anything she does, I'll buy. She's so great.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to see it. So.
Yeah.
All right, Patrick, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, sir. You take it easy. And everyone else listening, thank you all for listening. Be sure to leave us some iTunes reviews. And, of course, if you want to find me, go to twitter.com/PatLoika or about.me/PatLoika. And, of course, our sponsors at CheapGraphicNovels.com, where you can find Brian's work for up to 45% off cover price. So
I like CheapGraphicNovels.com. They seem to be very good to people.
They're very good.
I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know how it's happening, but I'm very happy it's happening.
They're a fantastic store. They're very good with their customer service and really quick shipping, too. So
yeah. No, I actually ordered something from them.
Awesome.
Not too long ago, and I was happy to see that it was timely and here.
Awesome. Well, again, everyone, thank you, and we will see you next week.
Yay!
Aha! Beep, 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 boop. Type. Hack into the mainframe. The mainframe. Beep, beep, beep. Type. The mainframe. Yo! It's spy versus spy. Turn around, put a fucking bullet in your eye. I don't know my name. They found me in the sea. They're fucking with my brain. Bullets in my back on a boat. Found a ship in my shit. Had no hope. No joke. Jason Bourne. Yo, I'm Jason Bourne. Been trying to be like you dead, Bourne. Conklin. Eat a head of Treadstone. Nicky Parson, Julia Stiles. Had her on deck. Translation game wild. 5-0 and go with him, the professor. Born they have it set up on his dresser. Jason Bourne can fight. Jason Bourne can stay up all night. White Russians, drink white Russians. Bleeding all over the shit, running from the cops. The CIA coming for his top. Pause. Run, run, cops got guns. All up in their claws. Cause he couldn't kill the African dude on the boat. Cause he had a baby in his lap. up, Bigby in his lap, and you couldn't kill him. But what's next? Operation Black Briar. Whoa. To be continued.